Welcome to Elder Care Issues. With today's show, Greg Gregson, Director of the Northern Utah of the Utah Care Planning Council. I'm your host, Mark Van Wagner, opening up this morning show on Saturday morning here at KDYL with autumn leaves as we face the autumn of our life. That's what this show is about, talking about elder care issues with a marvelous organization called the Utah Care Planning Council. And by the way, there's some websites that I want to direct your attention to. In fact, it is the number one website in the world for long-term care. And if you just go to a Google search or a Yahoo search and just type in long-term care, the number one site that will come up is Tom Day's site, who is the director of the Utah Care Planning Council for Salt Lake and his team of elder care experts. Or to find out about these incredible workshops that we'll be telling you about, you might want to write down careforutah.com. That's www.careforutah.com. That will take you right to an information sheet about invaluable workshops and how to prepare for the inevitable as we get with the graying of America. Without any further ado, please welcome Greg Gregson to today's show. And also, we have an open microphone from last week, Tom Day, who is the director for the Salt Lake area. He is here with us. But, Greg, it's your show today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
We're glad that you're here. And, of course, Tom, welcome, too. We're glad that you're here, too.
Thank you.
To oversee, to make sure that we stay on target. Last week, let's talk about an issue. We were talking about crisis planning and how too many times people come to you and they're already in a crisis, they're already there. And I made the statement, gee, there's not much you can do. But that's wrong. There are things even at that point you can do. Isn't that right, Greg?
There are some tremendous resources, Mark, that are available to people. In fact, the most common situation for us to see people is when they reach this crisis situation. They have a loved one either about to enter a nursing home or they have already entered a nursing home and they are looking for ways to solve the financial dilemmas that go with the very expensive cost of a nursing home. And so the resources that are available that we can help them access are Medicare and mm-hmm. more specifically Medicaid.
So there are things that you can do. So in other words, it's never too late to do something about a situation with an elderly parent or even yourself or a spouse or whatever situation that you're running into that needs some elder care. And it is as I mentioned before, the graying of America, our population, this is going to be the largest demographic in society right now. 10,000 people a day are turning 50 years old. 10,000 citizens of the United States of America a day are turning 50 years old. And that's why it is so invaluable that we have the Utah Care Planning Council, you know, taking care, elder care planning strategies for families. So with Thomas Day, a certified elder care advisor and care funding specialist, Natalie Moyle, care service specialist, Cal Curtis, elder law, Medicaid estate planning attorney, John Martin, financial and retirement planner, Kelly Anderson, professional care manager, and Shirley Ann Williams, a reverse mortgage specialist. All the areas that you need help in and all the strategies are available with the Utah Care Planning Council.
And if I could mention, Mark, that's our Salt Lake group.
That's your Salt Lake group.
And maybe Greg might want to mention some of the members of his Northern Utah group.
Oh, this is exciting. So this is even bigger than this.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You have put together one fantastic organization. Tell us about Northern Utah, Greg.
Well, we're in the process of putting our team together. Mm-hmm. I will certainly be a part of that team as a financial planner and a Medicaid planning specialist. I am a certified senior advisor.
Excellent.
And we will also have an attorney, Brett Cragen, who is an elder law attorney, that will be of immense help to us in the planning process, particularly in the areas of preparing documents like trusts and mm-hmm. wills and so on, and in the Medicaid planning process. And we are putting together some other individuals who will be involved. We're still in that planning part with them.
The main point are that you were, you know, bringing in specialists, because too many people, well, I have a son who has an MBA, and he is taking care of some financial things for his company, totally non-related to elder care, and he said that I can take care of this and get an estate planning for you, or these cookie-cutter estate planning things, you know, for $150, you can get everything taken care of, and there's a lot of misinformation out there, and too many times it leads people down the wrong roads. And elder care, especially elder care law, that's an important area of expertise, especially now as society gets older and they change things so often. I mean, just the red tape on everything concerning senior citizens is almost overwhelming.
Well, it's a very complex area. Medicaid planning by itself fills volumes, and it's a very complex, difficult area for people to become expert in. And so as a consequence, we have very few people available in Utah, and fewer still in the northern part of the state where I am.
Well, you know, as our population ages, you know, we face great emotional as well as financial challenges, and we are continuing to live longer lives, thanks to modern medicine and a number of the techniques that we have now to extend life. And the fastest growing age group in the country is over 85. And that amazes me. Now, this is creating a significant and growing number of seniors with declining health and declining income that require home health care and nursing home care. And you know, you talk about the emotional separation when a spouse or a parent goes into a nursing home. Last week we talked about this, about the almost always the depression that follows that, the isolation that follows that when someone is caring for a senior in their own home, a spouse or adult child concerned about the declining health of their loved one. And this it's a painful time. So not only are you hit emotionally, you're hit financially, and almost it's like a battlefront. You know, you just don't have one battlefront. You're being attacked from, you know, you're surrounded almost. And the financial challenge is so demanding. You know, who's going to pay for the cost of this? How are we going to do this? What does it cost to stay in a nursing home right now?
You know, that's a great question. The figures are just out nationally for the year 2003. The state with the highest expense is Alaska. And the expense there runs $166,700 a year. The lowest cost in the nation is Louisiana, which is $35,900. Utah comes in at $47,900 for the year 2003 as the average cost of a nursing home stay.
So we're about right average then.
Well, we're on the lower
average. We're on the low average. Uh-huh. But still, $50,000 a year.
Yes, and that's only the daily room and board rate at the nursing home. On top of that, people are faced with the cost of therapies, prescriptions, doctor's visits, and supplies and so on at the nursing home. It can be an amazing expense for them.
I don't know too many people that make $50,000 or $60,000 or $75,000 a year needed for that care and Social Security. Do you know anybody that gets a check that big?
Not for Social Security.
No, not Social Security.
I don't think so. What does Medicare pay for in a nursing home? And how long does it pay? Are there any benefits there for nursing home and Medicare?
You know, it's a wonderful question, Mark, because there are a lot of misconceptions about Medicare and what it will pay for if someone is going to a nursing home. Medicare is very restrictive in what it can pay for. The law allows Medicare to pay for up to 100 days in a nursing home. However, the average length of time that Medicare pays in a nursing home is 26 days. Before someone can qualify for Medicare when they're going into a nursing home, they first must spend 3 days in a hospital in the 30 days prior to going to the nursing home. Then they must require skilled nursing care when they get to the nursing home. If they can reach those gatekeeper requirements, then Medicare does a good job of paying for the first 20 days in full. After the 20th day, beginning the 21st day, then there is currently a $109.50 per day deductible.
Per day.
So a family facing some family member going into the nursing home at the 21st day, if they still qualify for Medicare, will have to come up with the first $109.50 part of the bill themselves each day.
What if they can't?
Well, they have to then turn to their own financial resources, to their families, or to Medicaid.
Well, I might interject, Greg, that some people have these Medicare supplement policies that do cover that other 80 days.
That's right.
But they have to have the right policy form. Not all 10 Medicare supplement policies have that provision to pay for the long-term care.
And that's a big help. The problem that we find is that even if people have the Medicare supplement policy, as soon as Medicare stops paying, Medicare is rehabilitative in its function, mm-hmm. in its design. Mm-hmm. So as soon as an individual stops improving, then Medicare cuts off its funding. That could be at the 20th day. It could be at the 25th day. It could even go all the way to the 100th day. If Medicare continues to fund, then the Medicare supplement will pay that deductible.
But you have to have the right supplemental form, right? You've got to buy the right insurance or the right supplemental insurance for that.
Yes, it's very specialized, and usually the health insurance that people have associated with their work mm-hmm. will not cover that deductible.
This is why, again, these workshops are invaluable. Just to find out the right forms and the right thing, and actually to find out the right place to go, you know, to get the answers to your questions, because a lot of times you will think you have things covered, and we'll talk about this in future shows. We'll have some examples of what not to do, you know, of some things that you guys have run across and that you have seen, you know, in your work. Now that's Medicare. Let's switch gears a little bit and go to Medicaid. What's the difference between Medicare and Medicaid?
Medicare was authorized by Congress in 1965 as a result of the concerns that Congress had of seniors spending most of their life savings on the illnesses associated with old age.
Mm-hmm.
In the same year, they also authorized Medicaid. Medicaid prior to age 55 is considered to be welfare.
Yes.
So for those individuals that cannot pay their medical bills and meet the requirements for Medicaid, then Medicaid does a great job of stepping in and helping those folks in that situation. However, after people reach age 55 and need nursing home care, then there's a special section of Medicaid that's very, very helpful, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about how you can access that program.
Mm-hmm. So again, you know, let's get to these workshops. What types of benefits will Medicaid provide?
Medicaid will cover all of the nursing home daily room and board costs. They'll cover most prescriptions. About a year ago, Utah imposed a 7 prescription per month maximum,
mm-hmm.
and then they backed off of that a little bit and said, well, for any prescription items that cover heart or high blood pressure, they will be excluded from the 7 medication limit per month.
Okay.
They do not cover anything for dental except emergency dental care. But for most things that people would need going into a nursing home, Medicaid will cover all of those expenses. So it's very helpful.
But these the nursing homes, it has to be a nursing home that accepts Medicaid.
Yes, and
right?
Most nursing homes in Utah will.
Most nursing homes will. Well, that's good news.
In fact, there's probably only a handful that don't in Utah.
So if a person is receiving Medicaid, will they get substandard care? Is that like welfare care? I mean, is it like bottom of the ladder or...
People have a lot of misunderstanding about that, Mark. In fact, the law requires that a nursing home give exactly the same care to someone on Medicaid that they give a private pay patient.
That's encouraging.
Yes.
I think that is good news. Is it legal to arrange finances to qualify for to Medicaid? I mean, for example, can we get ready to have our income then low enough so we can get Medicaid to get some help?
Usually the issue is not getting the income low enough, it's getting the assets
spent
down.
Getting the assets spent down. Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is legal. There are rules that are built into the law that allow people to spend down their assets. In fact, spend down is a requirement of Medicaid. For a married couple, the institutionalized spouse, the one in the nursing home, is allowed to keep a maximum of $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
The well spouse that is staying at home, that Medicaid calls the community spouse, is allowed to keep half of the couple's assets up to a maximum of $92,600. Now that's indexed and will change each year, but this year it's $92,600.
Will Medicaid planning get say if I start planning right now, or any family, you know, for an elderly a loved one, will we get in trouble with the IRS in any way, or can we get in trouble with the IRS?
No, the IRS is a whole separate issue.
Mm-hmm.
Medicaid planning stands alone and has nothing to do with the IRS. However, people need to be very careful when they do their planning that they pay attention to the tax traps that they might get themselves into while they're trying to move assets away so that they can qualify for Medicaid.
Yeah, this is what is interesting, is that, you know, people will not hesitate in going and getting some help in planning their taxes, because very few of us are smart enough to do it on our own unless we file the easy form. And so most everybody I know will go to a tax planner, right? Because the government, you know, they do have refunds and different programs for all of us, you know, to take advantage of some of the lower taxes here and there so we can keep more of our income for our lifestyles. Yet it's not the government's responsibility to plan for that or to help us find those or to go through that. That's, we have to do that on our own. And unless we know all the tax codes and everything, you know, that's why we go to experts. And yet are that many people going and getting elder care planning right now? I mean, there are programs out there from the government, yet it's not the government's responsibility, you know, to help you find them or to help you plan for them. It's just like your taxes. You need to go to get some help, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, one of the mistakes that people often make is that they will go to their neighbors, they'll talk to their brother-in-law, they'll talk to all kinds of people in the community for advice, and they're not going to get good quality advice when they do that.
Let's get back to Medicaid, Medicare. What can the well spouse at home keep? I mean, you mentioned that. It's only $2,000?
In cash, $2,000. And then the couple is also allowed to keep one car.
Okay.
Their home is considered a non-countable asset, and so at the time of application for Medicaid, the home is not counted as part of their total asset base.
Oh, so you get to keep a car.
Get to keep the home.
Get to keep the home.
Get to keep all of your personal property, your clothing and furniture and so on.
Jewelry and everything else.
Jewelry, as long as no one item is worth more than $500 in, let's say, a garage sale setting. So for most people, personal property is allowed.
Okay. And the $2,000, that seems awfully low for me, for some reason. How much of the couple savings can the can a couple give away their savings and then qualify for Medicaid? And what's the timeline on this? Because I have heard that somebody will, you know, they'll give away something out. They'll make a large cash donation, and the government will go back and say, "Nope, that's a countable asset. You can't do that."
That's correct. Medicaid rules impose a 3-year look-back period. So when families try to give money away, they need to be aware that from the day that their loved one enters the nursing home, Medicaid will count backwards 3 years, and any money that was given away during that period of time will count against them and will cause penalties and will keep their loved one out of the nursing home on Medicaid. In other words, Medicaid is not going to pay during a penalty period if they've given money away in 3 years prior to entering the nursing home.
So this is not something you would want to do spur of the moment, last minute planning.
Don't
try this at home. This would not be something you would do in crisis management, would it?
That's right.
Let's give away our money quick. Grandma's going into the nursing home. Quick, she's got to, you know, you don't do that. You need to plan way ahead for that.
Congress, in fact, in 1993, made the rule a little more strict. Prior to that, the rule was a 30-month rule. Now it's a 36-month look-back rule. So they're very strict about that. In fact, one of the questions on the application for Medicaid is, have you sold or given anything away in the last 36 months? And if the answer is yes, then that's going to have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, but you really have done yes, then you could be in trouble for falsifying government forms.
Yes, there are serious felony penalties.
Felony penalties.
For falsifying an application for Medicaid.
See, that's one thing is that, you know, I think Grandma's going to go into the nursing home in exactly 40 months from right now. So within the next 3 months, we need to start spending down. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't work that way at all.
Doesn't the Medicaid also have the ability to verify that information through IRS records and so forth?
Yes, and they can ask for verification of all kinds of records from the family. In fact, when people apply for Medicaid, the file becomes very thick with the records mm-hmm. that they ask for. Typically, Medicaid is asking for the last 3 months' bank statements. However, they could ask for the bank statements for 3 to 5 years.
Now, is it a misconception that you have to be broke to get Medicaid?
No, it's not a misconception. In fact, that's the intent of the law, that people get themselves to a point
so that is true.
Broke by the definition of Medicaid. Now, we go back to what we talked about earlier. The spouse going into the nursing home is allowed to keep $2,000.
That's.
The community spouse, the well spouse, is allowed to keep half of the couple's assets this year to a maximum of $92,600.
Okay, and then when you add that, you know, $90,000 may sound like an awful lot of money, but when what? 1 year? What did I write that down? The average, $47,900? And that's the average nursing home care for a year. And that doesn't count prescriptions or therapy or any other specialist coming in to visit your loved one or any other needs that they may have. So that $90,000, that's not that much.
Yes, let me just give you an example, Mark. It's not unusual for us to have a situation like this come into the office. A couple has a home and they have $200,000 in savings. The spouse going into the nursing home gets to keep $2,000. The well spouse gets to keep $92,600. That means we have $104,240 remaining that is subject to the spend-down rules for Medicaid. So that's a very common scenario, and without help, people are going to spend the $104,240 when, in fact, with some planning, they could save every penny of that.
Now, let's talk about planning for a second. Is there any way to protect the assets of from a situation like this?
Yes, if you find a planner that's educated and experienced in this area, there is a great deal that can be done to protect the couple's assets. In fact, it's very common for a couple with the proper planning to protect their home and all of their savings.
You know, one of the reasons why I got involved in this personally in dealing with senior issues years ago, he was a very, very well-known architect and lived in palaces. I mean, he was quite wealthy and kept his sweetheart, taken very, very well care of. And then he had a long-term illness that ended up taking every penny he had. And when he finally passed away, his sweetheart was left in the basement of one of their children's home, basically subsisting on their generosity. And she was devastated. She was a pauper, and with basically nothing. And to go from that, this very successful, she just didn't see it coming. But it happened, and I hear stories. I've heard since we've been doing this, I hear stories like that time after time, how they didn't see it coming, and this happened, and it was cancer or something, or a heart disease, and boy, those medical bills when they're $750,000, I mean, it gets expensive.
When people are faced with a situation like this, my recommendation to them would be they really need to talk to someone that can help them with the planning. There's no reason under the law for somebody to spend down all of their savings. Medicaid, for example, pays for about 45% of the cost of all nursing home care in this country. The typical scenario is people spend their savings down to the required level or beyond, and then at some point turn to Medicaid. That usually happens after 1 year for a married couple and 6 months for a single person. But with the proper planning, they can protect all of their assets, and they don't have to spend all of that money.
Now, we're not talking anything illegal here or anything that is unethical either. We're talking the benefits that are available through the government of the United States. I mean, everybody wants to pay their share. We all pay under our taxes. Nobody wants a free ride. We're not talking about that. We are just saying that these are programs that are available to you, and with proper planning, you can keep most of your assets in place You know, and you can, you know, have an estate to leave to your children, and, you know, and live a great life for the remainder of your years and take care of mom and dad. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, and more particularly, Mark, we're talking about protecting the spouse. In 1989, Congress passed what they called the Spousal Resource Allowance. That's the amount of money that this year is $92,600 that the well spouse is allowed to keep as a maximum. The intent of the law is that the spouse be provided for. They do not want the spouse to be impoverished after taking care of their partner in the nursing home.
But again, we need to plan, because if we don't plan, we plan to fail. We're coming, once again, close to the end of our show.
Wanted to make a comment on Medicaid planning. It is part of the Medicaid law. That is what we do. Is allowed under the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to tax planning. You know, if people can pay taxes not knowing that they can do tax planning and lose a lot of money, or they can do tax planning, which is perfectly legal, and save a lot of money by using an expert. And it's a very similar process. They can lose all their money not knowing that they can do Medicaid planning, or they can do Medicaid planning under the law and save assets.
You know, it's the same thing, just like you said, you know, with tax planners, is that these benefits are available to us by law, by some, you know, people in our government that are really thinking in our favor in protecting us, but it's not their responsibility to plan for it. You know, they can't plan for all and pass a law that just covers everybody. You know, they have to have these certain, you know, setups and gatekeepers, as you called them, you know, to prevent fraud and prevent a number of other things, because people, if they can take advantage of it, they will. And so these are set up that way, but it's not the government's responsibility to help you plan your particular case so you can take advantage of all these benefits that are available to you, you know, that are given to you by your government, by the people that care about you, because nobody wants to see you wind up impoverished. But you need to plan, and that's why I suggest the Utah Care Planning Council attend one of these workshops. Are your workshops for Northern Utah? They'll be on careforutah.com fairly soon.
They
won't
will
they?
Be.
Okay. careforutah.com. And, of course, your telephone number is 621-5553. That's 801 still, right?
Yes, it is.
801-621-5553. That is Greg Gregson, who is the director of the Northern Utah Care Planning Council. Greg, I'm so glad that you were here today and I had a chance to meet you, because this is an issue that is so close to my heart. And another thing that I would recommend in going to the experts, I mean, right now you're going to a carburetor expert, you're going to a computer expert, you're going to experts in medicine. You need an expert in planning for the later years in your life so you can retire and live the lifestyle in comfort and not impoverished. And that's what this is all about. And also, there is fraud out there too, from some other, you know, senior fraud is one of the number one cases of fraud. You know, I mean, you are a target when you are a senior, and people have your number, and they want your assets. And that's why it's doubly important that you go to a planning team, not just one person, but a planning team, a planning council that has the elder law, that has the Medicaid planning, the Medicare planning, like the Utah Care Planning Council. I just can't recommend it enough. Again, careforutah.com, or call Greg Gregson, 801-621-5553. You can call Tom Day in Salt Lake at 298-8676. In Utah Valley, you can call 269-1150 or call the radio station, and we'll have those numbers made available to you. We're out of time, Greg. Tom, thank you once again. It's just been a pleasure, and I am so glad that we are doing this and talking about these issues, because this is something that is so necessary. And thank you for being available. Thank you for those workshops. That is marvelous. And we'll see you again next week, same time.
Thank you very much.
We'll be here.
Thank you.
This is Elder Care Issues. I'm your host, Mark Van Wagner. We'll see you next week at the same time right here on KDYL.